Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we would have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. And the Bible said in verse 21, now he which establisheth us with you in God and hath anointed us in Christ and hath anointed us is God. If you're saved, you have an anointing, which is that Holy Ghost. The Bible said, and he shall lead you and guide you into all truth. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 2 that you need not any man to teach you. Why? Because the Holy Ghost teaches you. And he will lead you and guide you into truth. These people, they cannot be taught truth. It's a good sign they've never had that anointing. They've never had the Holy Ghost.
Right.
If you don't believe that, we'll go ahead and just turn there and read it real quick. 1 John chapter 2. The Bible says, I'll start reading the verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have written, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, and they are not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. And ladies and gentlemen, we have that unction, which is the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And he leads us and guides us into the truth. The Bible said they went out from us. You have a lot of these preachers that started out right. And they went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us.
Right.
And they sure try to make manifest that they know, but that they let people know that they're no longer of us anymore. That they no longer abide in the truth. They no longer abide in the Word of God. It's about making money, and it's about being famous, it's about all these other things, but it's no longer about the Word of God and preaching the truth anymore. They went out from us. They become enemies of the cross. The Bible said they count gain God as godliness. They claim to be godly because they have a lot of money. And Benny Hinn and all those other people, we have independent Baptists that are the same way today. They think they're godly because they have numbers. They think they're godly because they have money. They think they're godly because they drive nice cars. Ladies and gentlemen, you find the wickedest reprobates in the earth. They drive some of the fanciest cars. Don't mean they're godly.
Right.
They think they're godly because they have things. That don't make you godly. Some of the godliest people that's ever lived have been poor people.
Yeah.
And because you're poor don't mean you're godly either.
Yeah.
But anyways, you have an unction from the Holy One. You have an anointing that you've received from God. And the Bible says in verse 22, who hath also given us who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. He hath given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And I kind of want to look at that, the earnest of the Spirit. The earnest of the Spirit. And whenever you look at this word earnest, it's a token of what is to come. The Bible talks about the first fruits of the Spirit. It is a token of what is to come. And you see other people in the Bible that have received a token. You look at Abraham. He received a token from God that when he believed God, it was counted unto him for righteousness' sake. Because him and God had a covenant between each other that from his seed shall all the nations of the world be blessed. And it wasn't talking about the Jews. It wasn't talking about the nation of Israel. It was talking about the seed, singular. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of thy seed shall all the nations of the world be blessed. And Jesus Christ would come from Abraham. And Abraham believed that. And because he believed this, God told him to circumcise his flesh. And go circumcise himself as a token of what was to come. A promise that was coming. That he believed God. And then also not only Abraham, but we find Noah had a token in the sky that whenever God had drowned the earth in a flood because of the wickedness of man was evil in his heart continually. And that's what God thinks about the evil in our heart, by the way. That's what God... You want to know what God thinks about the evilness in our imaginations, in our heart? You want to know what God thinks about it? He thinks about flooding it. He thinks about destroying it. The only reason why he hasn't flooded the earth again is because he promised he wouldn't. But I can imagine that the Lord is as... the thoughts of wickedness of the man, he's probably thought about destroying the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, in one day he will destroy this earth. He'll burn it up in unquenchable fire. And the wickedness of the man was great. That's what God thinks about the wickedness of your heart. So God drowned the earth in a flood. And as a result, he gave a promise to Noah. He sent a bow in the sky that he would no longer ever again flood the earth again. No longer would he ever do something like that to destroy the earth. And he gave that rainbow in the sky as a token, as a promise. Then if you're born again, you've been saved. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us the Spirit to live in our hearts as a promise. He gave us the Spirit and as a promise of what is to come and what we are going to receive later on down the road. The first fruits of the Spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, he gave us this Spirit as a token of what one day we will inherit. Of what the things that we will receive. Now, a lot of folks, they only like to focus on the things that will go on in heaven. But, ladies and gentlemen, there's some things that you receive on this earth today. If you've been born again, there's a whole lot more to being saved than going to heaven. Right. There's a whole lot more to being saved than missing hell. Right. There's a whole lot more to save than those two things. And most people, they want to just shout about that. But, ladies and gentlemen, when you get born again, you have the Spirit of God living on the inside.
That's good.
You have the Spirit of God living on the inside. When you get born again, the whole old things are passed away, and all things become new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things, they've become new. You no longer do the things you do. You no longer talk the way you used to talk. You no longer act the way that you used to act. You no longer hate the way you used to hate. You no longer live in sin the way that you used to live in sin. You no longer do that when you get saved. Chapter the Spirit living on the inside. And what does this Spirit do? Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. It tells us what the Spirit does. People claim that this is the Holy Ghost. This is not the Holy Ghost. This is, I believe, the Spirit of the Father.
That's good.
The Spirit of the Father. And you say, where do you get that? The Bible said, from out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. John 38. And these things spake he of the Spirit, capital S, Spirit. Right. The Holy Ghost was not yet given. Sure. But whenever they were alive there, they could receive the Spirit of God.
That's right.
They could have the Spirit of the Father living on the inside. And I believe that it was Jesus that told them, That whenever they did get in trouble and they had to stand before people, that the Spirit of their Father would teach them what to say.
Right.
Give them the words to say. The Spirit of their Father would give them the words to say. And they had the Spirit of the Father. But the Holy Ghost was not yet given.
That's right.
But after that, you do receive. We do have the Holy Ghost. We have the Spirit of God. We have the Holy Ghost. We have every bit of it. If you're born again. But the Spirit, the Bible said in Romans chapter 8, let's see here, we'll start reading in verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies and by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So you've been quickened by the Spirit. You've been made alive by the Spirit. You've been made alive. And you, the Bible said, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You had your conversations in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But you've been made alive, how? Through the Spirit. No longer dead in your sins. You're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. You've been made alive by the Spirit. And sometimes it's hard to tell in people. But if you've been born again, you've been made alive. No longer dead. The Bible said in verse 12, therefore, brethren, if we are debtors, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. What does the Spirit help us do? It helps us to mortify the deeds of the body. What are the deeds? The works of your flesh. The things that we do in our flesh. Because the Spirit lives in you, you're able to put them to death. That's what mortify is. You think of the word mortify, you look at a mortician. He deals with the dead. That's what it is to mortify the deeds of the body, is to put it to death. You know, it'll help you use your hands for the glory of God instead of using your hands to do things that are wicked and ungodly. It'll help you use your mind for the glory of God instead of using your mind for things that are ungodly.
Hey.
It'll help this tongue no longer have the poison of asp in it. It'll help you speak things that are truth. It'll help you speak things that are beneficial to other people. It'll help you speak life into people.
Right.
It's what the Spirit will do for you. Mortify the deeds of the body. Help you not to go places you shouldn't go. That's what happens.
Right.
You have the Spirit. Makes you alive, but it kills the deeds of the body, things of the flesh. The Bible says in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It leads us. The Spirit of God, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Hallelujah.
We haven't received a spirit of fear. We have not received a spirit where we have to feel like we're in bondage, where we have to be bound under the law, where we have to just keep the law because that's what God said. Now, if you've received the Spirit, it's what you want to do. We've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And ladies and gentlemen, whenever we go to pray, we can bow our heads and say, Lord God, my Father.
Hallelujah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we can bow our heads and we have a heavenly Father, even if you don't have a Father on this earth. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a Father that's up there in heaven. And deep down in your heart, deep down in your soul, you can cry, Abba, Father. He is my Father. Ladies and gentlemen, we're no longer children of the devil. We're children of God. This is what the Bible says in verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That Spirit lives in you. What does it do? It bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God.
Yeah.
Bears witness with your spirit.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks, they want to say, well, the devil is strong enough to make me doubt. And he has all this power to make you doubt. And he does have power to make people doubt. You take a young convert that doesn't know very much. By the way, I believe the more scripture you know, the less that you will doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And the less you'll doubt about everything. But the more scripture you know, Well, you take a young convert that doesn't know very much, a preacher will get up and preach. If you never asked Jesus to come to your heart, then you've never been saved. And that young convert, well, I didn't ask Jesus to come in my heart. The Bible didn't say you had to ask Jesus to come into your heart. It said that you had to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart.
Yeah.
It said believe on the Lord Jesus. It said repent. The Bible said repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said repent you therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. It's a change of mind. It's a change of mind. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of folks that claim to be born again, and they're so stubborn. They will not change their mind. They cannot change their mind. But if you've ever repented, you'll live a life of repentance. You're able to change your mind. You have to change your mind. That's part of Christianity. And you have these people, you wonder why these commentaries are often wrong. Somebody might write something in a commentary. What happens is Oliver Green said this in a commentary. Well, guess what? Oliver Green may have changed his mind 5 years later.
Right.
Well, because Oliver Green said it in the book, we have to live by it. It has to be true. Oliver Green might have changed his mind about a few things.
Might have just been wrong.
And I was talking to somebody the other day. Guess what? Not every one of us have some error from time to time.
That's right.
Not every one of us. And God has to straighten us out. God has to show us the truth. But every now and then, every one of us will get into some errors.
Sir.
But the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit, that we're a child of God. But a preacher may preach something to make somebody confused. You might commit some kind of sin. Because you committed a sin don't mean that you're lost.
Right.
Because you committed a sin don't mean that you're lost. And ladies and gentlemen, those are probably two of the biggest things that might make a saved person doubt. But I guarantee you this, if God's got enough to create heaven and earth, God's got enough to give that person assurance. He's
right.
Got enough to give that person assurance, even if they didn't have a doubt. Say, well, the devil made me doubt, and I doubt all the time. Well, it's kind of crazy to me that Satan's strong enough to make you live in doubt, but God's not strong enough to give you assurance.
Woo!
And if that is the God of the Bible, I wouldn't want it.
Nope.
I wouldn't want it. But that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible gives you assurance. What is the works of righteousness? What is the evidence of righteousness in somebody's life? It is quietness. You have peace.
Hey.
You have peace. And whenever Jesus was out there and the storms were going on and everything else, he said, peace be still. That's what God's able to do. He's able to make it calm. And there's no more enmity between you and God. There's a calm in your soul. No longer struggle between you and God. There's no longer that searching to try to find God. You have God. You have peace. You have righteousness. The other one is assurance forever and ever. Assurance. That's the works of righteousness.
Right.
That's the works of righteousness. Has God worked righteousness in your life? Do you have your own righteousness? Your righteousness will not produce peace. Your righteousness will not produce assurance. But God's righteousness will.
Yeah.
Jesus' righteousness will. And the Bible said, his spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Mm-hmm.
And ladies and gentlemen, all the devils in the world can kind of come to try to make you doubt or whatever else.
Wow.
That spirit living on the inside says, I am a child of God. I am a child of God if you're saved. That's what it says. That's what happens. And not only that, the Bible said that if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What about that? What Christ gets, we get. We're joint heirs with him. We're joint heirs with him. We're heirs of God. And there's an inheritance, ladies and gentlemen. And if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. If we suffer with him, we'll also reign with him. And the Bible said, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you live godly, you shall suffer persecution. Now, I know a lot of folks, they think that they're persecuted because they don't know how to quit running their mouth and they don't know how to use wisdom. They think that's because, I'm being persecuted because somebody said something to me because I don't know how to shut my mouth. That's not persecution. Persecution is whenever you live your life based on the Word of God. And because you obey the Word of God, People come up against you and fight against you. There's been many groups of people, Catholics, different Protestants, that have been killed and have been put to death, and they've called them martyrs. But a lot of them wasn't fighting for the Word of God. A lot of them were fighting for land and property. They wasn't fighting for the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, they wasn't suffering for the cause of Christ. They were suffering for financial gain. But there are some that suffer because they were going to preach this Word of God. They were going to preach it straight. They were going to obey it. They were going to live it. They were going to practice it. They weren't going to let a king tell them that they couldn't obey God. They were going to live according to the Word of God. They weren't going to let somebody, they would take the Scripture, it's better to obey God than to obey man. And they'd live it. They'd practice it. They did obey God. And they suffer persecution. A lot of times things come in our life, people get mad at us, we think we're being persecuted. Maybe just be because we're crazy sometimes. Maybe because we do something wrong. It may not be that we're being persecuted. I know some people's life verses that the Lord sent a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Well, he did. My mother-in-law. I'm sorry. I love you. But the Lord, everybody says that. But it might not be because everybody else is wrong. I know a lot of folks that they have something wrong with everybody. It might not be because there's something wrong with everybody else. It might be because there's something wrong with them. Might be because, oh, this and that. We never have anything good to say about anything. We never have anything good to say about anybody. It's always problems with everybody. Well, guess what? It may not be everybody else. It might be you.
Oh, man.
Might be you. If you can't get along with everybody, there might be something wrong with you. If you can't get along with people. A lot of times we want to act like it's spiritual, but it's not half as spiritual as what we claim. Not half as spiritual.
It's good, preacher.
But verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was not made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, not only they, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for, to wit, the redemption of the body. Groan within ourselves, waiting to put off this robe of flesh. Like the song said, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize. And that's what happened. We'll drop this robe of flesh and we'll put on incorruption. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For when a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what the Spirit does when he lives on the inside of the man. That's what happens. And that's what the Spirit does. I tell you what, I'm going to close with that, and I'll finish the rest of it in the second service. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the precious Word of God. God, I pray that you'd help us and give us an understanding of the Scriptures. God, I pray that you'd lead us and guide us into all truth. I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to